I think people are desperate for authenticity right now. I think we have been snowed by all of this dark money and this ugliness and these anonymous mailers and the division and the fear. And what they really want is to know that the person who is going to be serving them and representing them actually cares about them. And that's where you shine. Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. And oh my gosh, I can't tell you how excited I am today because we get to hang out with my dear friend who is now Brown County Supervisor-elect, Rachel Mays. Rachel, welcome.
Well, it's quite the intro. Thank you. Thank you.
There's so much more that I could have said, but we're going to talk about all of that throughout the course of our conversation because we've known each other for a while now. You're an extraordinary person. Your election was really the one that meant the most to me in Wisconsin. Chris Taylor, yes, huge. What happened with Alicia Helvenslaben in Waukesha, incredible. Watching the whole state shift to the left, beautiful. But you winning in Brown County, chef's kiss. How does it feel?
It feels good. I've run for office a couple of times. We've known each other since we were both running in, what was that, 2020 to 2021. The tail end of, you know, COVID shutdowns and things reopening. And there are some races that just mean more personally. And this really was a labor of love. And I'm interested in digging into the details and talking about what happened.
Yeah, well, let's start with who you are. You're a Green Bay City Attorney. You are a neighbor. You're the Brown County Supervisor-elect for District 2. But before all of that, who is Rachel Mays? What do people not know about you that they need to know?
Well, I'm a Libra. I enjoy Rocky Road ice cream. Seriously, though, I was born in Milwaukee. I moved to Green Bay when I was four. I grew up on the west side of Green Bay. I went to MacArthur Elementary School, Lombardi Middle School. I graduated from Green Bay Southwest High School. I went on to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where I double majored in political science and Russian language and civilization. Took a couple years off, did some restaurant management, bought a house in the Twin Cities, went to law school at the Hamline University School of Law, had my first kid halfway through law school. He's 13 now. He's going to be going off to high school next year. I also have an 11 and a 7-year-old. So I've got first grade, sixth grade, and eighth grade, little youngsters running around. They're amazing little people.
They're the reason, right?
A lot of what I do is to try to, you know, make the world a better place for them, whether that's safer, more hospitable, welcoming, you know, whatever the situation is, it really is about my kids. After I graduated law school, I took the Wisconsin bar to try to get closer to family in the Green Bay area. And I wound up in the one spot in Wisconsin that was further away from Green Bay than the Twin Cities. And I wound up in Superior, Wisconsin, where I practiced for 3 years as a criminal prosecutor. I was 0.6 time in the DA's office. And after about right around a year after starting in the DA's office, I also was hired as an assistant corporation counsel representing Douglas County. So I've represented county government before in a different capacity, in a legal capacity, where I was doing not only my criminal prosecution caseload, but I was doing mental commitments, guardianships, protective placements, zoning, you know, all the things that a county would show up in court for. Of all people, Kathy Hinkfiss reached out through friends of friends and connections and made me aware that there was a city attorney position, an assistant city attorney position that was open.
Kathy Hinkfiss, who currently serves on the Green Bay Common Council, I should mention.
Correct. So I threw my hat in the ring, and I'd been trying to get back to the Green Bay area, and one thing led to another. And a little over 8 years ago, I moved back to Green Bay to my hometown, and here I am now as the community prosecutor for the city of Green Bay. I prosecute all the municipal citations that are issued in the city. So a lot of what the police officers do for enforcement action are writing citations. There's also some that come through like parking enforcement or inspections or other avenues, but that's my day job. In my off time, I'm very active in the nonprofit community. I sit on boards of directors for multiple nonprofits. And you asked for something that people don't know about me. There are very few people who know. When I was doing restaurant management, I ran a Jamba Juice in the Twin Cities, and
Jamba Juice.
I just had a smoothie bowl for breakfast this morning. I love smoothies. But the last year that the Minnesota Twins were at the Metrodome, I had a contract to sell smoothies outside the Metrodome, on the plaza before every home Twins game. And right before the All-Star break, they had a mascot T-ball game, and I had one of my coworkers in a strawberry suit. I was in a banana suit, and I made it on SportsCenter and Baseball Tonight, relaying a throw from a White Sox outfielder to a slice of pizza to me as a banana to Subway Subman at home to th try to throw out TC the Bear. So that's my fun fact you didn't know about me.
I had no idea you had a secret history of being a banana.
And making it on television for my sporting prowess.
My gosh. Also, I just that combined history that you and I share of having spent some time at the Metrodome, which is like, we hated it and we loved it all at the same time.
We've both been to the University of Wisconsin, and we've both spent some time in the Twin Cities.
That's right. And here we are back home in Green Bay. Hey,
Absolutely.
I want to pivot to you mentioned this a little bit, but you've done all of this work in the county from a legal perspective. You really understand how counties work and how cities work because you serve as a Green Bay city attorney. How does that all come together for you in this new role that you're taking on? Because one of the things that I've really enjoyed following you for is your vision. You get how these things work, so you know what the changes are that need to be made.
Well, and there's a lot of community input as far as, what the community needs are. And if you talk to people, some people will give you things that a city government will handle, some things that a county government will handle. So my background really allows me to hit the ground running in this new role that I know what the city does. I know who pulls the levers at the city. Now, I'll get up to speed on the institutional knowledge with who's pulling the levers at the county level and who I need to follow up with and who the go-to person is. But just knowing what does the county government do? You like libraries? That's the county government. You go to the Neville Museum? That's the county government. The new zoo, the court system, the jail, 911 dispatch. I mean, these are all things that Child Protective Services, Adult Protective Services, these are all things that the county does and services that the county provides to all of our neighbors. So understanding the interplay of, what's county, what's city, and having my foot in the door for both of them, I really am a go-to person. I would love for people to reach out to me with any county concerns, any city concerns, and if I can't handle it directly, I will absolutely get them in contact with the person who pulls those levers, or maybe facilitate a conversation. But yeah, it's great institutional knowledge and background to really be able to make an impact from day one.
So, what was it that made you decide that you were going to take this knowledge and this experience and run for elected office? Because that's a whole different ballgame. You can serve as a city attorney and get some cool stuff done, but running for office, what was it?
Yeah, so it all comes back to my kids. I want to make sure that the neighborhoods are safe. I want to make sure that housing is affordable for my kids and their friends' families and my neighbors next door. And if local government can make life just a little bit easier for some of our neighbors, increase housing availability, outreach to unhoused individuals, and try to connect them with resources and services, if we can do things to make life just a little bit easier for everybody, a little bit goes a long way when you're talking about a county that has, just shy of 300,000 people.
That's a huge population. And the stuff that the work that you do is the stuff that touches us every day. It's not like, when you think about politics, you think about federally what's happening, which is such a dumpster fire right now, but it's your roads, it's the library system, it's all the things that you've already mentioned, those really tangible things. That's where the opportunity is for you to make a difference.
Yeah, when we get a snowfall that drops 2 feet of snow on us, who's digging the city out? Who's digging the county out? Who's keeping the highways clear? Who's allowing emergency responders to respond to a factory fire on the west side of Green Bay? I mean, these are all the things that some of the things seem like they're kind of a small deal, but other issues that face the local governments, whether it's city or county, they can be life or death situations. So these are critical services and really important just to impact the well-being and quality of life for living here in Brown County.
It felt very important a couple weeks ago, and we were all trying to dig out from that 2 feet of snow. That was a lot of snow, and that was when we really were appreciating our local services. Now, when you decided to run, and as you said, this wasn't your first rodeo, there were a lot of barriers, and I want to be really honest about this. You were targeted. There were transphobic attacks during your race. There was a lot of ugliness. What was that like to navigate, especially in a community where you have invested so much in the city itself, the nonprofits, your neighborhoods, the community, your kids? How did you do it?
Yeah, so when I ran for circuit court judge back in 2021, I didn't have much name recognition because I'd only had that name for a year and a half at that point.
That's one way to do it.
Even the kids that I went to elementary school with, wouldn't have necessarily recognized my name. So at that point, I was taking on a 19-year incumbent as someone with little to no name recognition. I was passionate about, making a difference and making things better in the court system. And I felt like I could provide a service. So I ran. And there was an attack ad that called out the fact that I'm transgender. And it was kind of a copy and paste, ultra liberal, going to waste money and activist judge and all these things that's not me. But it was more sensational. A year later, I ran for county board in 2022, and I got hit with two attack ads. And in this last run, one of those ads was essentially recycled. They used the same photo, they used the same verbiage. I mean, it was copy and paste.
Lazy.
It was
Great.
very lazy, it was very unoriginal. And now we're 5 years into, me being a public figure and engaging in the community and being a community leader on boards of directors for nonprofits and for showing up and doing the work and meeting people where they're at. And every time that one of those attack ads has come out, it's not talking about my credentials. It's not talking about the work I've done. It's a cheap shot. It's a low blow. And it's from, people hiding behind third money or third party, dark money mailers. They can't look me in the eye and say, you know what? I don't like you because you're transgender. I don't think you're qualified because you're transgender. But as time has gone on and people have seen that, like, I'm engaged in the work and I'd like to think I do a pretty good job at what I do and my heart is in the right place and I am passionate about lifting people up. So these mailers, they may still have some shock factor for people who are new to the area, but I can tell you, after every single one of the five attack ads that I have faced, I have had people reach out that day asking, how can I contribute? How can I donate? Can I get a yard sign? And after this last attack ad, I got $700 in donations for my campaign that weekend. I put up an
Yes.
extra 3 yard signs days before the election. People felt so disgusted by these attacks that they wanted to do something. And that's where our community's at, is that dirty politics don't resonate with people. And having someone who is genuine and passionate and has a track record of community leadership, that's where my neighborhood's at. That's where my neighbors are at. That's who they want representing them. And the fact that I brought in a nonpartisan approach to it, that I don't knock on blue doors or red doors, I knock on my neighbors' doors.
That's right.
And that, I think, that message allowed us to really overcome a resource deficit. My opponent outspent me by almost 13 times. The two contributors to his campaign were the Republican Party of Brown County and himself. There was no grassroots support, there was no neighborhood support. I had 9 people who donated to my campaign. I didn't ask for a single contribution. I still had some yard signs from the last time I had run, and I did a lot of walking. I have to throw away that pair of shoes now. But when you show up in the community and you engage in the, meet the candidate events and the Q&A panels and, the newspaper interviews and the League of Women Voters interviews and all those opportunities to reach out to the people, they get a feel for who's for real and whose heart is in it, and why you're running. And ultimately they get to make the choice. And it was a close race, and I'm grateful that at least, 66 more of my neighbors had that faith in my vision and my background, because I'm really excited to hit the ground running and make a bigger impact on this community.
I think people are desperate for authenticity right now. I think we have been snowed by all of this dark money and this ugliness and these anonymous mailers and the division and the fear. And what they really want is to know that the person who is going to be serving them and representing them actually cares about them. And that's where you shine.
Yeah, it's not about a political party. I didn't take money from any political party. It's about people, and it's about helping your neighbors, and it's about looking out for your neighbor's kids and making sure that, essential services are being delivered consistently. And we've got amazing drinking water, and we've got access to some amazing county parks. And just all the services that are provided. A lot of people don't realize that those are because people cared enough to step up and say, we're going to be part of making a difference in our community. And I can't wait for the coal piles to be moved on the Fox River
The coal
and
piles.
see that property, get developed. And there's a lot of optimism between the South Bridge being completed, crossing the Fox River, connecting, not making everyone have to drive up to Highway 172 to get across the Fox River.
Right.
That's gonna promote development and increase tax base, and hopefully that'll pull down, property taxes for folks who just, own a home. And these little things that can be done to, help bring down the cost of living and make the quality of life just a little bit easier and a little bit more bearable.
I love how you're bringing in everything from the South Bridge to the new zoo, because these are all the things that we all really care about, and they really are county things. And I think a lot of people don't understand that this is all part of your job. So let's pivot to April 7th, to last Tuesday. It was election night. Going into it, how were you feeling? And once you heard the results and you knew that you had won, what was that like?
It was surreal, and it's not like on a presidential election night where you're seeing results kind of rolling in throughout the night. We had one benchmark, and that was the primary that happened on February 17th, which actually that was my late brother's birthday. So, taking in like 53% of the vote on that primary was really special. So I knew that we had support, and that enough of my neighbors cared to go out and brave the cold in a new polling location several miles away at the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, that there were enough people who were in my corner that, like, hey, we're going to make a go of this. But on election night on April 7th, did I do enough? Did I knock on enough doors? I hadn't sent out five or six mailers. I hadn't been sending out, robo text messages. Those things cost a lot. I mean, the money that goes into running a campaign, I think it's easy to underestimate how much you have to spend to run an effective campaign. And not only did I want to prove that you don't have to swear fealty to a local party in order to make a difference in local politics, you also didn't need to spend your entire salary that you're going to earn working the job in order to be successful. My campaign, I spent around $500. That's it. But the community connections and the people connections, that's how our campaign had the legs to make it across the finish line. And the people power behind running for this office is what allowed me to cross the finish line.
I think we've kind of forgotten that that's the whole point, is the getting out and talking to people and hearing what they have to say and having a vision for the role that you're going to be serving in, because money has gotten to be such an important proxy. But the campaigning piece, when money is so important, the campaigning piece is entirely different than the service piece. So you can have somebody who's great at campaigning and calling and asking for money, but when it comes time to actually do the work, they have no idea what they're doing because they haven't been doing any of it and they haven't been building any of those relationships. You, on the other hand, are ready to hit the ground running because you've been doing all of that stuff already. So now it's just a matter of putting those pieces into place, getting to know what the new board is going to look like, and embarking on your new journey.
Yeah, and there was a coalition of candidates that we'd been chatting and, helping, just be a sounding board for each other, and really running for change as a community and building connections between districts. And so on election night, it was bittersweet because some of these people who were really good candidates lost, and some of these people who I was pulling for, I'm going to be sitting next to at those board meetings. And that's the way the elections go. Sometimes, the person you're pulling for wins, sometimes they don't. But at the end of the day, it's about finding those connections and the shared vision and the shared goals, and finding those spots where we can agree and we can find ways to make an impact and a positive change. And we don't have to pull culture wars into local government. There's a lot of work to do. Right now, there's some upheaval at the dispatch center. There have been a number of, veteran dispatchers who have resigned. What's going on? How can we bring everyone to the table? How can we find a short-term solution to keep the trained, skilled staff that work there in their positions? And able to have family lives and have work-life balance. And what's the long-term solution to make sure that we get more trained people to backfill, to make those schedules more manageable? I just came back from a State Bar of Wisconsin Board of Governors meeting yesterday, and on my way home, I stopped at the dispatch center just to introduce myself and say hi and say, if there's something that the board can do, please let me know. Like, I want to help. And I think that's where it's not just a monthly meeting. It's showing up. It's going to talk to people and try to figure out, what's going on, and being that mediator. The county board we don't manage these departments. We're an oversight body. We legislate, we fund the budget. But at the end of the day, we have to trust staff to manage. So the better that we can understand the nuances and what's going on, the more supportive we can be towards finding creative solutions.
Yeah, and understanding this specific problem as it exists in this specific place. There's not a one size fits all. It's got to be a highly individualized solution. Hey, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You talked a little bit about the culture war. And as I've been talking about your victory, I've been packaging it as you beat the culture war in your own backyard. And I think that's incredibly true. You did it by bringing you, your authentic self, to the table. And I'm wondering, how has living your full, true self made you a better leader and a better neighbor?
That's a heavy question.
It's a very heavy question.
So before I transitioned, and I've been living as Rachel since 2019, and I was capable. I graduated from high school with a 3.85 GPA. I had 29 college credits when I graduated high school. I graduated top 10% of my graduating class in college. I got married. I had three kids. I have a beautiful house. I was living the American dream, right? But I wasn't. And I wasn't happy with myself. And looking in the mirror, and seeing my body develop in a way that I was uncomfortable with was tough. And once I gave myself the permission to truly live and to take that leap and just trust that the people who were important to me would be there and would react with compassion and love. That's when I developed the confidence, the self-esteem, to not only look out for myself, but to be a shield for other vulnerable people in my community. That's when I gained the self-confidence and the comfort level, the self-esteem to not only live my life, but to try to make this community and the lives of other people who have been looked at with contempt and disdain and disgust just for trying to exist on this floating space rock in this brief blip in history that we get to exist on this planet.
Right.
How dare we do that in a way that we can be happy and comfortable and confident? So, transitioning not only allowed me to fully live and be 100% engaged and focused and there for my kids and here for my community. It opened up all these doors and it opened up a capacity that I didn't have before. I never would have been able to sit on multiple boards and run for office. And then come home and look at myself in the mirror with self-loathing. So it has made all the difference to be able to show up as me. I'm going to tell you how it is. I am 100% authentic. I don't want to sugarcoat things. I don't want to lie to people. I am what I am. And this authenticity is, this is my existence.
This is who you are. You are a Brown County supervisor elect. You will be serving the people who appreciate you and who voted for you, of which there are many, but there are also people who didn't vote for you. What would you say to them as you are looking at the future? You will be representing them. You will be making the county a better place for all of us. What do you say to those folks?
Let's go grab some cheese curds.
And some Rocky Road ice cream.
And Rocky Road ice cream. Why not? I think that we get lost in, and the term identity politics gets thrown around a lot. And I think that it's important to realize that we all carry so many different identities. If people are uncomfortable with my gender expression, let's talk about the Packers. Let's talk about the weather. Let's talk about, the dozen turkeys that are walking around in the ravine in our backyard. I mean, there is so much more that connects us than separates us, and we have a shared culture. And Brown County people, I truly believe that Brown County people want their neighbors to be happy and successful and prosperous. I don't know too many people that walk down the street and they see someone walking on the other side of the street and they look at them and think, you know what? I hope they're having a miserable day. That's just not who we are as a people and as a culture. So to all of my neighbors who may have a different political ideology than me, like, let's talk about it. Like, what concerns do you have, and how can I help make those things happen? Local politics is about permits, and it's about red tape, and it's about navigating who do I talk to about this issue? Where do I go? I don't want to have to go to three different buildings and drive around town. Is this a municipal thing? Is this a county thing? I can help with all those things without sacrificing an ounce of who I am. If people don't want to call me Rachel, you can call me Attorney Mays. You can call me Supervisor Mays. Like, this doesn't have to be an issue. And I think that the more people who I get to have conversations with, the more people realize that I just want to help.
That's you to the core. So now that you are elected, this is my last question for you. Now that you are elected, what is the one thing you are most excited to actually do?
There are a few projects that I'd like to see through, and these terms are short. They're 2 years. The meetings come and go real fast. So as far as like low-hanging fruit, I want to see recordings of and live streaming of committee meetings and the county board meetings. I think it's unreasonable for someone who lives in Pulaski or Wrightstown or Denmark or Dykesville to have to drive to downtown Green Bay in order to see what their elected officials are saying and how they're voting and how they're discussing the issues that impact their daily lives, their
In this
ability to get to
time,
work.
right, when there's so much technology available and everybody's looking at their phone all the time, that only makes sense.
So I think that that's something that the wheels are already turning on that. And I want to make sure that it doesn't get lost in the mix. I want to see that happen very soon. Not kick down the road. Let's make it happen. We all have computer machines in our phone or in our pockets. I understand from a compliance standpoint and an ADA accessibility standpoint, there are rules and regulations that we have to follow. But at the end of the day, we need to find a way to make it happen, get it done. For more of a loftier, it's going to take some doing type of project. Brown County is blessed with some of the best and most diverse specialty courts in the state, if not the nation. We have OWI courts, we have teen courts, we have veterans courts and mental health courts. These specialty courts meet people where they're at, and they provide more individualized support, rehabilitation, and an opportunity to overcome some challenges that they've faced that may have led them into the court system. I think that these specialty courts really are the crux of like what justice should look like. And I've been advocating for a few years now, since 2020, 2021, when I ran for judge. I would love to establish a court that looks at how unhoused individuals interact with the justice system. It's hard to get court notices when you don't have a permanent address. It's hard for substance abuse treatment or case managers to provide services when you don't have an address where they can find you at. And taking a housing first approach and launching a pilot program where, we can provide housing as long as they're complying with, what's being asked of them. Are you engaging in the services? Are you showing up for court? Are you making that good faith effort to rehabilitate and to work through this challenging time in your life? So getting a specialty court that looks at unhoused individuals and how they interact with the justice system, that's if I could choose one pet project to make happen in this role, that would be it.
I remember having this conversation with you probably 5 years ago, and then looking what the city of Green Bay has done with our unhoused population, the efforts that they are making, and the progress. It seems like the time is right. I feel optimistic.
We've got a lot of pieces in place. We've been making progress. There are still a couple of bigger obstacles, but we have been chipping away at it. And we would be hubristic to think, or maybe naive to think, that homeless individuals only exist in Green Bay. That's where the resources are. But if we have a system in place that could potentially benefit unhoused neighbors, residents of Brown County that live throughout the county, and come through the courthouse and need services and need a fair chance to rehabilitate, I think that that would be a really big deal.
We all need a hand up sometime.
Absolutely.
Rachel Mays, Brown County Supervisor Elect. Thank you so much
It
for
sounds
taking
good
the
hearing
time
you
to
say
chat
that.
today. I know, I just want to say it over and over and over and over again, and I'm going to. I'm going to tell everybody I know. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Kristen. Thanks for having me on your show.